Good morning, church. Good morning, church. There you go. Amen. It's good to see you today. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. 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 My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. I just want to say happy Mother's Day to all your mamas.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay. Grandmas, mamas, thank you so much. You're a blessing. We appreciate you. I'm going to tell you something in a second about how we want to appreciate you today. We're in a new series. It's titled Tailor Made. There's significance in spiritual armor, not only to withstand the onslaughts of the enemy, but also to overturn the tendencies of a carnal mind. This series will deliver a clear scriptural presentation on biblical definition. Okay, we're back. Somebody give me some water. I got to put this in there. It needs to be baptized and set free. Hey, okay. That sounds better. Remember, I need more bass, though. I always ask Josh, give me more bass because I sound like I'm 13. Praise God. This series that we're in is going to deliver a clear scriptural presentation. The biblical definition of spiritual warfare. Dude, that sounds so cool. Awesome. Girl, you're going to have to rescue me. This is bad. This is really bad. My parents are here from Oregon. They're like, I don't know him. My wife's already left the building. Happy Mother's Day, baby. Okay. But we're going to talk about spiritual warfare, what it is and what it is not. It's very important. Armored with the knowledge of who you are in Christ, you will be dressed and dangerous. How are you going to be dangerous? You're going to be dangerous to the works of darkness, unflinching in the face of conflict, and fully equipped to take on the opposition from our spiritual foe. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world, but on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish, great word, strongholds. Amen. Amen. Mamas, thank you so much for being here. We want to bless you today. There's some flowers for you on your way out. We'd love to grab a bouquet for you and just bless you. I just thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Where would we be without mamas? Right, mama? Mama, say amen. Amen. Okay, my mama, say amen. Amen. That's my mama. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus.
Okay. Proverbs 31, I know it's cliche, but I love these verses right here. 25 through 31 says, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Woo, that's good. That'll preach right there. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her, and her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and deceptive, and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her with all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. Amen. That's a good thing. Today we have a woman of God, my personal friend. She's a walking party. She is awesome. Her name is Erica Stowe, and she's the wife of Haywood the Great. Good to see you, sir. Mother of Haywood the Fourth. What's up, Fourth? We're both fourths. And then Haley, Halen, and Haven. She is Miss Erica. She's an entrepreneur, and she has over 20 years of experience in the beauty industry. If you didn't do your hair today, she will notice. She will definitely notice. She will not judge you, but she will pray for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Receive it in the name of just go out. And amen, amen. Amen, amen. She's from Cedar Rapids, but she currently resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. She's the youngest daughter of a pastor, and she's grown up in church her whole life. She's a worship leader, and she's a servant in the kingdom of God, and she loves sharing the good news of Jesus, and she's been saved and running for Jesus since age of 14, and she isn't tired yet. Church, will you please give Miss Erica Stowe a warm FOB welcome?
When we get together, we're unhinged. It's just amazing. Hallelujah. God, you may be seated in this place. God is so, so amazing. I'm so happy to be here with each and every one of you. It's been an honor and a privilege. I'm grateful for my husband, the love of my life, my king, my children. Half my children went on with my mother, but we got two here, Hay with the fourth and Halen. I'm so grateful. I'm saved. I'm thankful for this amazing pastor and his beautiful, lovely wife. It's amazing when you're beautiful on the inside and the outside. That's a bonus. So thank God for Lady Sarah. I love you so much. And all the children, their two children, I just love them so much. We've been friends for almost 9 years, I believe, now. How old is Lindley? She's nine. So we met them when she was about 7 months, I believe. And it's just been love, laughter, God ever since. I'm so thankful to be here with all of you. Look at these beautiful people in this place, my sisters and brothers in Christ. God brought us all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina to be here on this morning, and I am grateful for that. So God bless you, each and every one of you. I am going to sing a little bit before we start. If you want to worship with me, I'd love it. Amen. So we're going to just gonna sing this little worship song to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have won the victory. Oh, I hear you singing it. Ooh. Hallelujah. You have won. Let them hear you in heaven. You have won the victory. Hallelujah. You have won it all. You have won it all for me. Say, death could not hold. Death could not hold you down. Hallelujah. About it. Can you put your hands together for the risen King? the Savior of the whole world, the Redeemer of life, to the Savior of my life, to the lover of my soul, to my King of Kings, to my Lord of Lords, to my healer, my deliverer, my way maker, my way holder. Hallelujah. We lift your name in this place and we make your name great. Great is our God. Great is our Lord. Jesus, my risen King. Hallelujah. God, we thank you in this place. Father in heaven, God, we ask that you bless. Bless on this morning. Bless your people, God. God, send us a word from heaven that we may be changed, better, renewed in Jesus' name. God, help us to be equipped for this life. God, we know trials will come, but we will conquer with you in Jesus' name. And we always win with you. So God, we ask that you bless. Open up our hearts to receive. Let the word fall on good ground. God, let it grow and produce in the name of Jesus. God, heal, set free, and deliver, God. God, cover the minds of your people in the name of Jesus. Cover the hearts of your people in the name of Jesus. Cover our feet so that we walk in righteousness in the name of Jesus. And we'll be careful to give your name all glory and honor and praise, because you are worthy and you are good. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Can you clap your hands one more time? Oh, hallelujah. I'm so glad you're here. But if he wasn't here, where would we be? Thank God for his presence in this place. Thank God for the worshipers. I want to thank God for Brother Brent. Hallelujah. Thank God for each and every one of you. Hallelujah. We're coming from your series is just so amazing and on time. We're coming from the book of Ephesians. Our scriptural text is from Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And we will read that shortly, but I'm going to start with a little bit of history. I like to go back and then come forward where we are right now in our study. So the book of Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul around about 60 AD. And from Rome, he wrote this during his imprisonment there. And Paul wrote this letter to the church, the Ephesians, and it was a letter of encouragement to strengthen the believers in the church and in their Christian faith by explaining the nature and purpose of the church, the body of Christ. So how befitting that he wrote this letter to encourage. And here I am encouraging you, the body of Christ. Amen. And after a warm greeting in the beginning of Ephesians, Paul affirms the nature of the church, the glorious facts that believers in Christ, you and I, have been showered with God's kindness. Amen. You have God's kindness. And then chapter one's theme really is, we are chosen for greatness. You are chosen for greatness. And we are marked with the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the Spirit and power. And we are freed from sin's curse and bondage. Oh, tell your neighbor, I'm free from sin and bondage. Hallelujah. Chapter two's themes, we are brought near to God. And also as a part of God's house, we stand with the prophets and the apostles, the Jews, the Gentiles, and Christ himself. Chapter 2, 19, and then chapter 3, verse 13, those chapters, it seems that Paul was overcome with emotion by remembering all that God has done. And today I'm going to remember some things that God has done. Paul challenges the Ephesians to live close to Christ, and then he breaks into a spontaneous praise. And then chapter 3, verse 14 through 21, Paul then turns his attention to the implications of being in the body of Christ, the church. Believers should have unity in their commitment to Christ and their spiritual and use their spiritual gifts. And then chapters 4, 1 through 16 talks about how we should have the highest moral standards. Chapter 4, 17 talks about rejecting ungodly practices. And as a family, we should have mutual submission to one another and love one another. And then Paul reminds the believers that the church is in a constant battle with the forces of darkness and that they should use every spiritual weapon at their disposal. So here we are at Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. And it says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on God's armor, all of God's armor, so that you will be able to stand against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, enemies. No, your brother and sister are not your enemy, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from God's good news so that you will be fully prepared. Let me skip to it. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then verse 18 says, praying in the Spirit at all times, because we must pray. And on every occasion, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Amen. The word of the Lord is blessed. So what the word of God is telling us in this Christian life, we will battle and there is a literal spiritual war going on. Good and evil, right? These evil forces of fallen angels headed by Satan himself come to do three things. John 10 and 10. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and to destroy. He says, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. He comes that we have life and that more abundantly. Amen. So our enemy is a vicious fighter. He's a vicious fighter. And 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The word says to be sober, to be clear, calm, and in a rational state of mind. To be serious, because your life and your walk with Christ is serious business. Vigilant, to be watchful and alert, especially to potential danger or harm. Now listen. I've been boxing while I've been in North Carolina. I've been taking some boxing classes with Andrew. And I think I'm a pretty good fighter, right? Naturally, I'm a pretty good fighter. I got a good right hook on me. My daddy was a real boxer, but I got a good right hook on me. Got a good left one too. And so, but even with fighting, I can't use that kind of fighting for this. Muhammad Ali couldn't do it. George Foreman, no. This is not that kind of fight. This is not that fight. So to withstand these attacks, we must depend on God's strength and use every piece of his armor. The whole body of Christ needs to be armed. Look at your neighbor, say, we all need to be armed. We all got to be armed. We fight in the power of God. And listen, spiritual warfare is real. Demons are real. We face a powerful army whose goal is to defeat Christ's church. I have a funny story to tell you guys. I have a little more time with you all since, you know, earlier. But listen, years ago, my sister and I have four siblings that lived in the house with us. And my sister and I, we just did not get along. I mean, this is pre-Jesus, okay? So don't judge me. But my sister and I, we just didn't get along, right? And she had a way of just getting on my nerves. She's 4 years older than me. And this one night, my mom and dad had traveled because he was preaching somewhere. And so she had left us home alone. My brother Patrick was there. He's currently my pastor now. And he didn't get into the shenanigans with us. But my sister and I, we fought. Okay. And so we had been in that house yelling and screaming and fighting, and it was so bad. And so my mother and father come home from this church meeting that they had been to. And my mother, she was here earlier. Happy Mother's Day to her. And she's laid in her bed. And before she could shut her eyes, she sat straight up and she said, "Oh, no, devil, y'all been fighting in my house." I said, "Oh, my, the Lord tells on you. He tells on you." She said, "Oh, you all been fighting in this house." She went and got her oil and she started pleading the blood of Jesus. She said, "You devils got to get out of here." And listen, the enemy is real. And so when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we believe in him, these evil beings and spirits become our enemy. See, because when you're on his side, he doesn't really care. He's already got you. But when you start to believe in Jesus Christ, he's your enemy. And so they try every device they can and to use that they can use to turn us away and back to sin. Turn us away from God and back to sin. But because Jesus Christ came and lived and died and rose again, we are assured the victory. But we must endure through every struggle until Christ returns. Now, Satan, he is constantly battling and scheming against all who are on the Lord's side. And God allows us to be tested. He does, because he has given us the weapons we need to fight. So you will be tested. He didn't tell you, he didn't promise a perfect life, but he did assure the victory. But the enemy is going to do his job. That's one thing you can be sure of, okay? Spoiler alert, he's going to do his job. And he will attack your mind, your heart, your health, your children, your job, your finances, whatever he has to do to throw you off, he will try it. I can remember in 2008, and our son, our only sweet baby boy, Haywood Stowe IV, was sick unto death. And if anyone follows me on Facebook, whenever I show my son, I'll drop in at Iowa State to see him. He's a junior at Iowa State. I drop in to see him, and I'm always saying, "Oh, God did it. He shouldn't be here. He should have been dead at 4. And crazy enough, my grandmother, when she met my son for the first time at the age of 2, she told my mother, "If God doesn't intervene, she won't raise him to be grown." Because my grandmother saw on him an attack of the enemy. So 2 years later, my son wakes up out of his sleep screaming in agony. And we had no idea what was wrong with him. He was 4 years old. And he just kept saying, "My stomach hurts." We rushed him to the hospital. We did all these tests. They did all these tests. And they found out that his digestive system shut completely down. It was not working. It was like one of those crazy, like the monsters inside of me. They could not figure out what was happening. So therefore, he could not eat or process anything. So then he was dying from starvation and whatever had attacked him. And so we had a Christian doctor. And so after a week of him being in the hospital here in Cedar Rapids, she said, "I've done all I can professionally." But she closed the door to our room and she said, "But I'm going to go to the one that created him." And she prayed heaven down in that office for us. She referred us to the University of Iowa Hospital, where he stayed for an additional week or so. And they did all these tests. They put him under. I mean, they woke him up. And then the last time, they had a hard time waking him up because his system couldn't digest or process the sleep meds that they gave him. So they had a hard time bringing him back out. And so they could not find it. They said all these things. I said, "It's not that. Go back." And I'm Googling online. And we watched our son suffer, and he was dying. And so after about a week, it was a Sunday morning, my husband, I said, "I cannot take listening to him scream any longer." And they had us in a room by ourselves, and they kind of quarantined us because they said we didn't know if this was contagious, if it was going to affect other children. So they had us isolated. And so he said, "Erica, you go to church. Take Haley and go to church." And I went to church that morning, and that whole night, my husband prayed over our son. And I went to church that morning, I was in the bathroom, and I'm the worship leader, so it was my time to get up and do what I do for God. And I was in the bathroom crying, because this attack of the enemy on my son had me, my mind was not right, right? So my father, who was a pastor at the time, he came to that bathroom, banging on the door, and he said, "Erica, come out of the bathroom." And my father opened that door and he said, "Stop crying. You don't think I want to cry?" He said, "Erica, your tears don't move God. Faith moves God." hit me like a ton of bricks. In my mind, I was thinking, how can he be so cruel? But really, I needed to hear that word. Faith moves God. We can cry all we want because we're human. But when it comes down to it, I need to pray and have faith and believe that God can do exactly what he said he would do. And my daddy said to me, you have a charge to keep and a God to glorify, no matter what happens. He said, so you get out here and handle God's business and let him take care of yours. So I dried my face up. I went out and I sang heaven down like everything was fine. And I mean, I let God have his way. And while I was singing, while I was worshiping, because if you didn't know, praise is a weapon. It's one of your weapons that you can use. Not only can you have all this armor, but you got prayer and praise. And praise is a weapon. And I begin to use my weapon in praise. He said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So I use my weapon. And then praise is the vehicle that gets you to worship. And when you begin to worship God, oh my God, he loves the worship. So I begin to worship God. While I'm worshiping, the Lord went all the way to the University of Iowa Hospital and touched my son immediately. You know how the Bible says suddenly? Well, that's what God did for me that morning. Suddenly, my son, his digestive system began to work. So much so that he had a bowel movement. They let him out, released him. Before my father got done preaching, my husband walked in with my son. Can I tell you, I went crazy and lost my mind. He looked brand new. Even his countenance was different. Why? Because he had been touched by the master's hand. He had been touched by God himself. And I tell you, if God be for you, who can be against me? Oh, I'm getting a little crazy. I'm feeling a little unhinged, but I got time right now. Hallelujah. So that happened in 2008. And my husband spoke over him Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. By his stripes, every stripe they put on our Savior is a way for you to have healing. So then here we go. Struggles and coming through things builds our faith. Praise is a weapon. So here we go down in 2016. I was diagnosed with cancer. Yes, me. I was diagnosed with cancer. And it was a long story short, I completely lost my voice to sing. I could no longer sing anymore. I walked around hoarse every single Sunday. And I was like, Lord, why? For almost a year, I struggled and I tried to sing and it just wouldn't happen. So finally, I have a great doctor and he did his research and found out that I had thyroid cancer. And not only did I have thyroid cancer, but the thyroid cancer was touching my vocal cords. And it had gotten into my calcium glands and it was on its way to my lymph nodes. And I should not have had any symptoms, but can I tell you, God magnified every symptom so that the doctor could figure out what was going on. So long story short, in 2016, I went ahead and had surgery to remove the cancer. And he was concerned because my vocal cords. And I said, God, I have to praise you in song. I can't do this life if I can't worship you in song. So I went in, I had a great surgeon. He did the surgery. I went through treatment. And after surgery, I was banned from singing for a little bit. But when I was able to sing again and test it out, God had given me better than what I had before. And not only did he make my voice better, but there was a little richness behind it. Why? Because I had been through something. And then I asked the Lord, he gave me this analogy of a drum, right? So when they make this drum, they stretch the skin and they tighten it. And then when you strike the drum, it vibrates and produces a sound. You can strike it lightly and it vibrates and produces a sound. But if you strike the drum hard enough, it produces a loud sound. The Bible, God told me, he said, I had to hit you hard enough to get the sound out of you that I wanted. So don't get discouraged when things are happening, because sometimes God is using it for his glory. He said, I had to hit you hard enough because I had to get that sound out of you that I wanted. And I'm like, Paul, it was good that I was afflicted, because here I am giving God glory. with experience. I got some faith stuff underneath me. I've come through some stuff. And here we go in 2020. I was the woman with the issue of blood. I struggled for 2 years, not 12, two. And I was tired of it. And I said, God, I need a miracle from heaven because you did it for her. So I know you can do it for me. And so my husband and I, we begin to touch and agree. And long story short, they canceled my surgery. I was supposed to have surgery March 3rd of 2020. And the pandemic happened and they canceled my surgery. And I could not take it any longer. But I had gotten a word from this woman, this random woman that ran into me. And she said, God, I saw you on an operating table, but God was doing the surgery. And she prayed for me. And then so 2020, they canceled my surgery in March. The third week in March, it was on a Tuesday morning, about 5:15 a.m. in the morning. And I was laying in bed and the Spirit of God woke me up out of my sleep. And I felt this sensation, this weight rested on me. And it was like the sensation of like, I wanted to holler, cry, scream, laugh all at the same time because this presence was on my body. And I said, Lord, I feel you. He began to work on my body for about 40 seconds. And then after about 40 seconds, something shot from the top of my head all the way through my body and came out my left foot. No lie. My left foot felt like it opened up and something shot out of me. And then the presence was gone. I jumped up and there was no evidence left. Let me tell you something. So in May, I told my mother, I said, I'm healed. I told my husband, I'm healed. I am literally healed. In May, they said, we're going to do your surgery because yours is really severe because I had a tumor. In May, the doctor opened me up to do the surgery. And he came out and got my husband and said, did she have another surgery? What happened? Did she have another surgery? He called a colleague in and said, do you see her ultrasounds and tests from before? And look at her now. And the guy said, well, she didn't have another surgery because there's no scar tissue. Because when God does surgery, there's no scar tissue. So then they just had to close me back up. When I woke up, he said, we could not find what we went to go get. And I'm going to tell you, the doctor said, not only was your tumor gone, not only was the bad ovary gone, he said, but your tubes were gone as well. Only a God. And then the doctor said, well, maybe she never had it. I have four children. We know I had tubes. But only an amazing God could take out the infection and the tubes and leave me whole and healthy and saved. Only God could do it. I have no tubes because God did the surgery. And then I asked the Lord, I said, what was that sensation that I felt radiated in my body? He said, you felt my healing virtue. Remember, he was walking through the crowd and he said, who touched me? And the disciples said, Master, everybody's pressing in. He said, no, I felt the healing virtue leave my body. That's what I felt on that morning. We serve a true and living God. So trust the process. We need supernatural power to defeat Satan. And God has provided this by giving us his Holy Spirit within us and his armor surrounding us. If you feel discouraged in battle, if life is lifing, as the young people say, if the darts and the arrows are coming quicker, remember Jesus' words to Peter in Matthew 16 and 18. Upon this rock I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. So why do we need the armor, you ask? Glad you asked. The armor of God is an amazing metaphor for action we need to take in our spiritual lives. Paul sets the scene for us. We are fighting a war and the stakes are higher than ever. Because, listen, Christ is soon to come. Our Savior, King Jesus, he's going to crack the sky. So Satan only has so much time. Our enemy is not flesh and blood. Our adversary, Satan, the devil, his host of demons have one driving purpose, to obliterate the children of God. Faced with the cares of this world, we can easily forget about the severity of this battle. But don't forget, brothers and sisters, our spiritual lives and our future in God's kingdom are on the line. If you lose this war, we lose everything. So, is there hope? Yes, there is. Newsflash, Paul writes in the answer in Ephesians 6 and 13. He gives the call to arms by putting on all of God's armor. We can be assured of withstanding our enemy's attacks. Now, Paul was imprisoned in Rome, right? For about 2 years. And under the watchful eye of the Roman soldiers, Paul was able to write 4 epistles. He wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Living for 2 years with the soldiers watching him, the Roman army, must have made an impression on Paul. He saw the soldiers, their armor every single day and became acquainted with it. He learned and understood the function of each piece and what it served and why it was important. At some point, a God-inspired analogy began to form in Paul's mind. Just as the Roman soldiers required physical armor to fight their wars, we as Christians require spiritual armor to successfully fight ours. Paul saw each piece of the Roman armor had a powerful correlation with our spiritual defenses. God has preserved this analogy for 2,000 years for you and my benefit, for our benefit. So the belt of truth represents the importance of adhering to God's truth in all aspects of life. The breastplate of righteousness symbolizes the protection provided by righteous living and obedience to God. The shoes of peace emphasizes the need to be prepared for the gospel and to spread its message of peace to the world. The shield of faith represents the faith that can be extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. The helmet of salvation highlights the importance of trusting in God's salvation and having hope in Christ. The sword of the Spirit, God's word, represents the power and the wisdom contained in God's word, which is used for defense and offense in spiritual warfare. This is why, one more, hold on, let me get too many pages. This is why we need the armor, because in 2 Corinthians 4 and 8, and 9, it says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are cast down, but not destroyed. I am winning this battle, but it's not my strength. It is the divine and unbeatable defense of the armor of God. God is fighting for us, and he always gives us the answer or the secret to winning our battles. Spoiler alert, listen, we're getting there. 1 Samuel 17, we remember the story of David and Goliath, right? David and Goliath, a young shepherd, David defeats Goliath, the Philistine, and with his slingshot. And that demonstrates God's power to empower the weak against the strong. Exodus 14, the Red Sea, the Israelites fleeing slavery in Egypt. Miraculously, the Red Sea parts and they go over on dry land and the Egyptian army is drowned in the sea. God's power and deliverance. Joshua and Jericho, they march around the city for 7 days, and on the seventh day they shout and give the victory, and then the walls fall down. And this event symbolizes God's power and his deliverance of his people. Daniel, the 3 Hebrew boys, illustrates God's power and protection. They refused to bow to King Nebuchadnezzar and his golden statue. And even though they were facing a fiery furnace, and the boys responded in verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. He's teaching us that we win. And let us not forget, since it's Mother's Day, that God has provided us with everything we need to win this war. And about 2,000 years ago, a little over 2,000 years ago, a young virgin named Mary gave birth to a precious baby who was the savior of the whole world. Heaven sent his very best. And I can see him saying, God, prepare me a body. I'll go and redeem man back to you. I will go and redeem them. So he put on human flesh and was born of a woman and walked this earth and lived a clean, holy life. And he was the example. After 33 years, he went to Calvary. And we know the story. They beat him. They beat our Savior for your sins and mine, for your battles and mine. They beat him and he carried his cross, put him on the cross, and he died. And as he was standing there or hanging on the cross, he could see that 1,981 years later, on November 25th, that a young girl named Erica Stowe would be born. And she wasn't born perfect. She was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But at the age of 14, he saw her coming to Christ, just like he saw each and every one of you coming to Christ. So he's like, it's worth it. The songwriter said he did it all with you on his mind, with me on his mind. He bore the cross for us. And then God knew that 43 years later, she would be standing in this exact moment, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. He did it all for us. God got the victory. So he died, hung his head and died. And they put him in a borrowed tomb. And he laid there for 3 days and three nights. But on the third day, he rose with all power. Jesus rose with all power. And because he got up, he had the victory over death and hell. And because he got up, we have the victory in this life. So don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get discouraged in the battle, because we always win with him. We're more than conquerors with him. Christ died for you and I to have the victory, to be equipped, to be prepared, to succeed, to be abundant in this life. So use your weapons. Use all the weapons. And after you put on all that armor, don't forget to pray and always praise. God bless you.
Amen. Yes. Amen. All right, we're going to do a duet together. Actually, I'm just the backup dancer. Okay. Hey, church, will you stand, please? We're going to praise before we go. Mamas, thank you. You're a blessing. She's a blessing. Oh, it's so good. I love friends. I told you she's a walking party. Then we get together and we party together in the name of Jesus. Hey, mamas, thank you so much for everything you do. We want to bless you before you go today. Feel free to grab a bouquet of flowers. They're right out there. And we just want to say thank you.